Revelations really is revealing. It breaks us out of our regular routines. It gives us a new set of glasses to look not only at the final things, but at our day today, at our life today. Let's read those first few verses again and think of ourselves as those in the white robes with the palm branches, together with the multitude in heaven. We read then from Revelation 7, beginning at verse 9. After that I looked, and there was an enormous crowd. Now no one could count all of the people. They were from every race, tribe, nation, and language. And they stood in front of the throne and of the Lamb, dressed in white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They called out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." All the angels stood round the throne, the elders and the four living creatures. Then they threw themselves face downward in front of the throne and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might belong to our God forever and forever. Amen." You know, sometimes it's good for us to stop in the midst of our busy life and realize that heaven is our home, that we are really strangers and pilgrims here, that we are on our way. We're just passing through. Jesus put it well in John 14 when he said, "Don't be worried, don't be upset. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's a place for every one of you." It's interesting as we look at that text that it speaks about an enormous crowd. So many, in fact, that it was impossible to count them. And immediately my mind is taken to the western part of our United States, to Glendale, California, there at the Forest Lawn Cemetery. The huge painting by Jan Stika, 90 feet long, some 40 feet high. As you sit in that auditorium and the lights darken, you see, first of all, the tomb of Christ coming in the center of the picture, the spotlight on it, the angel looking at the empty tomb, then off to the left, the three crosses. And then as the whole thing opens up and light floods the painting, the hosts of heaven, our forefathers, our ancestors, the triumphant host of the saints, those, that vast multitude that have already run the race, that have finished their course, those that are in heaven with God and the Savior. It really puts the crucifixion and the resurrection into the right focus for me. And I think it always helps me to look at my life and my everyday here on earth from a different point of view, realizing that in a sense I am there too in that host in heaven. Certainly the Lord is right when he says to us at this day in the seminary, "Don't worry or be afraid. In my Father's house there are really many mansions indeed." An enormous crowd. But it's amazing that our text tells us that that crowd is made up of Pontes Ethnos, not only from out of the Jews, not only from those nations that were represented there on Pentecost, but from all of the various people groups throughout the world. It's interesting now that the ethnographic research has pointed out that there are some 23,300 such people groups in the world today. And as we look at Matthew 24:14, we see the Lord saying to us, "And the good news about the kingdom will be preached through all the world unto pasi tois ethnesi," to all the various people groups. And then the end is going to come. If we look at those 22,300 people groups in the world, we see that some 6,550 of them have been reached with the good news of Jesus Christ. Some 16,000, over 16,000 of them still are unreached. Let's stop for a minute and recognize that 51% of the world's population, made up of some 2.3 billion people, live in those 16,750 unreached people group. What a challenge it is to you. What a challenge it is to me. What a challenge it is to all of us here at the seminary when we realize that 72% of the people groups in the world do not have a solid indigenous Christian witness within them. No one to evangelize within that group and disciple that group out to its edges. Now, some people in our day are predicting that the end of the world is going to come today or tomorrow. They measure the political climate of the East and the West, and they predict Armageddon. And yet for us, set against the picture of our text, all of the people groups being represented before the Lamb, we at Concordia Theological Seminary have to have a different point of view. Rather than gathering for the Armageddon, we have to prepare, and we are preparing ourselves with the mindset of Christ, the Christ who was always seeking for the lost so that they might be saved. Just so it can be a little bit more realistic for me and maybe for you too, let's look at two of those people groups this morning. I think, for instance, of the New Air people in Africa, in a country called Sudan. 1 million strong, very spiritual people. 99% of them are animists. They look to the rivers, to stones, to big trees, to other natural objects for their spiritual power. To them, to the New Air, cattle are very important. It can cost up to 100 cattle for a man to become married. And if it happens that there are several, two, three, or four sons in that family, it means that the second son waits until the first son is married, and the third until the second, and so on down. And if there are not enough cattle, either that second or third son does not marry, or if he really wants to marry, he goes to raid the neighboring people, should I call them? We would call them peoples. He would not think of them that way. The Dinka. He kills the men, he takes the women to get a wife or wives. But now, during the last year's peace has come back to Sudan. I don't know if you know it, but there have been 20 years of civil war there. The New Air are very receptive to new ideas, also to spiritual ideas. If Christianity doesn't come to these people during the next decade or two, Islam, which is just to the north of them, probably will. Or let's think for a minute of the Hewa people in Papua New Guinea. They live not far from the 200,000 Anga people, the largest single group of people in New Guinea. The Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod started mission work among the Angas just after World War II. And the Hewa are a people just a bit to the west and to the north of them. They live in the mountains. They're only several thousand in number. They haven't been exposed to Western ways very much now. But now that Christianity and development has come to the Anga and to the Ibali, who live near to them, they too are being exposed to Western ideas. In fact, one of the first things that they were exposed to was Western sickness and disease. Some years ago, when smallpox came into the area, it swept through the Ibali area, it swept right through the Hewa area and on through to the Anga. Medical teams came in immediately to immunize against smallpox and measles. Their physical life was saved. What they need now is the good news of Christ, which can give them eternal life. For you and me, as those who have heard the call to go into all the world and to make disciples of all of these various people's groups, it seems to me that we need to become more and more aware of those 16,000 people groups without the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of us really needs to be ready to consider and to say sometime with Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Or to say with Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. But then as we look back at our text for a moment, we again see ourselves in heaven. Yes, we are. You and I are part of that enormous throng. We are dressed in white robes. There are palm branches in our hands. The white robes stand for immortality. They stand for victory. In another part of Revelation, in chapter 3, verse 5, we're reminded that those who remain faithful to Christ will be victorious and will be clothed in white to show that they have been victorious. Of them, Jesus says this, I will not remove their names from the book of life, but in the presence of my Father and of his angels, I will declare that they belong to me. Yes, you and I will be forever with the Lord. In a certain sense, we as Christians are already there with him now. Not just in a passive state, but we're there with palm branches in our hands. You know, the palm branch is a sign of peace, a sign of festivity. For the Greek, it meant victory. For the Hebrew, it meant salvation. For the African, it means joyous festivity. In our text, then, we have the picture of an active unity between ourselves and between God and between the Lamb. We have the doxology of the church triumphant. And there we get it in those words. Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And I'll tell you, as your voices raised in song a few moments ago, it was just as though we were singing that joint doxology together with the saints in heaven. And just as that Old Testament sacrifice pointed forward to the New Testament sacrifice in Christ, in which all of our sins for all time were taken away, so these joint hymns that we sing here every day, they in a sense are our own anticipation. Yes, in a literal sense, our own projected participation in the triumphant doxology in heaven. And if we can, and if you will, propel your own mind into the full meaning of that inheritance that's laid up for you, incorruptible and undefiled, then the power of Christ, the full and the free atonement for our sins, will become ours and yours, not only in a passive way, but in an active way. Our hearts will then be joined together with those saints in light, and victorious power transforms our own life. It frees us then from fear. It fills us with the joy of our salvation. Do you have a joy in your salvation? You know you should. Fill your heart with the fullness of joy and with praise and with a real desire to extend that palm branch of peace and of salvation and of love to the many peoples in the world that are living in people's groups that still don't have it. You know, it's really a privilege to be a seminarian, whether we're students, whether we're faculty, whether we're staff. It's a privilege to join together every day with that triumphant host in heaven, to sing and to praise with them and with Christians all over the world, and to say together, as our text does, praise, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, and power, and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. May God give you joy in that doxology. May that picture before the Lamb transform your day and your days here at the seminary and throughout your life. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.